Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I identify with Sarah's laughter when God tells her that she will have a child in our reading this morning from Genesis. That laughter of disbelief, maybe slightly cynical, while also carrying a small seed of hope. Who? Me, God? Come on, that's not an option for me. And yet, Sarah bears new life, a child named Isaac, whose name means laughter, or let him laugh. God has an interesting sense of humor. I laughed like Sarah 6 years ago when my husband Alex asked me if I'd ever thought about being a pastor. No, not possible, not me. And yet, here I am. Laughter doesn't show up all that often in the Bible. This story is one of the few places in Scripture where laughter is a focus, and I want to talk about laughter today because I miss it. I miss laughing with other people, and maybe some of you do too. Why do we laugh? Sometimes, like Sarah, we laugh because what we are hearing seems impossible, too big, whether it's something terrible or something wonderful. Sometimes we laugh because we are nervous. Sometimes we laugh to keep from crying. And sometimes we laugh with great joy, big belly laughs with friends and loved ones about a memory or a movie or a joke or something unbelievably silly. I cherish the few big laughs I've had with other people these last few months. One happened just last week in the parking lot of the Fall River RMV with Alex when we discovered that he had accidentally put on his license application that he was 9 feet tall. And here's a story about laughter that appeared last week in the New York Times from a man named Scott Bishop in Alabama who works at a university community center. Lots of mostly women here have started cranking out masks and bringing them to the center for distribution. One day while we were changing shifts, there were five of us in the kitchen, more than there should have been. We were talking about child rearing. I think we were tired and tired of being careful, and we were all laughing, the kind of laughing that is a release, the kind that you don't want to let go of. Then someone who had come to drop off masks walked in. She said, "I am sorry. I just had to come inside. I heard you from the parking lot, and it has been so long since I heard laughter. I needed to come inside." We miss laughter, because laughter is not just a release. It's a sign of hope. That hope that Paul writes about in his letter to the Romans, a hope born out of suffering and endurance. A resurrection hope. Because as Jesus reminds us today in our gospel reading, in his ministry, in Jesus' life, his death, and his resurrection, the kingdom of heaven has come near. The kingdom of heaven has come near. I wonder if Jesus' disciples laughed nervously or felt like laughing when he told them that they were to proclaim this as he sent them out to heal and to serve the crowds of suffering people. I wonder if the disciples felt ready or equipped for ministry. I wonder if, in the face of so much human suffering, they felt like it was all too much. if they wondered, how can we possibly face this? And not only face it, but be of service to God and to our neighbors. Today it can feel like all too much. The sickness and death of a worldwide pandemic, economic hardship, the death-dealing illnesses of systemic white supremacy, racism, and white violence that have gripped our country since its founding, our country where white people continue to hurt and kill black people. Black people like Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and George Floyd. Where do we turn when it is all too much? When we do not feel like we can laugh? When we cannot feel resurrection hope? Where do we turn when we yearn to be of service but do not know how or where to start? Today, in our gospel reading, we are invited to turn, as a starting point, to the compassion of Jesus. Let's listen to this line again from Matthew's gospel. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. In the original Greek language of the gospel, the Greek verb translated here as to have compassion gives the sense that Jesus felt so strongly for the crowds that he could feel his love for them in his gut, in his belly. And in English, the word compassion means to feel with. When it is all too much, when we are feeling harassed and helpless, Jesus sees us and hears us and feels with us. When we are grieving and lamenting, Jesus sees us and hears us. He feels our tears and cries out with us in sorrow. When we are angry at the injustices we see in our country and in our world, Jesus sees us and hears us. He feels our righteous anger and cries out with us for change. When we are filled with happiness, Jesus sees us and hears us. He feels our joy and joins us in laughter. When we are tired, when we cannot get out of bed, Jesus sees us and hears us. He feels our exhaustion and calls us to rest in him. When we are members of a group that has been oppressed, and we feel called to speak and act on behalf of justice and the health and well-being and equality of our communities, Jesus sees us and hears us. He feels our pain and deep longing for change. He gives us the strength to march and the words to voice. When we are members of a privileged group that has unjustly oppressed others, and we feel called to examine and confront our own biases and the ways we contribute to and benefit from unjust systems, Jesus sees us and hears us. He feels our shame as we confess and repent of the ways we have hurt others. He empowers us to commit ourselves to listen and learn how to actively stand against racism and oppression of all forms. When we collectively commit to the work of repentance, repair, and healing in our communities, Jesus sees us and hears us. He feels our deep yearning for God's kingdom here on earth. When we laugh at what seems to be an impossible situation, when we laugh because it all seems like too much, Jesus has compassion for us, and he reminds us that the kingdom of heaven has come near. In Jesus' life and ministry, in the midst of the suffering of the cross and the tomb, through the impossible and seemingly hopeless situation of his death, Jesus shepherds us and points to the glorious and unexpected hope of the resurrection. We are a resurrection people. And when we sing and laugh our alleluias, even to the grave, Jesus sees us and hears us. He feels our deep joy and hope, and he sings and laughs with us. The kingdom of heaven has come near.